You know, I'm glad to see that you're in such a great frame of praising God today, because that's what I'm going to talk about. Praise God for the harvest. You know, the leaves are all falling. The hot days of summer are gone, and the cold days of winter is coming on. In fact, it's knocking at our door already. And nothing stays the same. Things change from one season to another in our weather, in our lives. We go from different seasons. We go from being a kid to a teenager, then to an adolescent, and then to single, then married, then kids. I mean, life, it changes with different seasons. And then all the kids are gone. You got an empty nest, and then the grandkids start coming. How many know what I'm talking about? It's just seasons of our lives. And you know, the harvest time is a great time of rejoicing when it's if you live in the farmland country, because a lot of hard work has gone into preparing the ground and then planting and then taking care of the crops as they begin to grow up out of the ground. And I know down home, down Texas with my grandpa, I don't know what they do now. This was back when I was 6 years old. But down there, we had that black land, north central Texas, and that cotton would start to grow. And you got to go out there with your hoe and take care of the Johnson grass. Because anybody know what Johnson grass is? If you're down there in Texas, it does. It has to take over. And you had to... You had to hoe it, you know, go down each row and make sure you took Johnson grass out, but not the plant, because it was trying to choke the plants out. But then that thing would grow, and then that bulb would come on that cotton plant, and then it would start to open up till it was full open, and see that cotton, pick it out of there. Harvest time was a good time. Because that meant harvest time meant money in your pocket. All the other, you're just working toward that. But man, when you get that, take that cotton and take it to the gin, you know, that's when it was. You know, I don't know what they do now. They got machines and everything, but you just have to hand pick it, you know, and you weighed it. You would weigh it. You bring your sack in and you'd weigh it, and they'd dump it in the trailer. And they'd keep account of it. Paw used to keep account of it. And when he got to a certain poundage, he knew that was a bale, and he'd take it to the gin. Any of y'all know what I'm talking about? Some of you do, some of you don't. The Bible said, let him as ignorant be ignorant still. I'm kidding. Come on. Somebody said, oh, that preacher. No, hey, it's all right. We got to have a laugh every once in a while. In fact, the Bible said laughter does good like a medicine. All right. But turn to Genesis 26. Genesis 26. You know, harvest time was a celebration time. You know, and our harvest time. We praise God for our harvest. Genesis 26, 12. Then Isaac sowed into the land. Now, many people talk about this as money, but this says he sowed in the land. That means he planted a crop. All right. And he reaped in the same year a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. Now, I know here it says he reaped a hundredfold. I don't know what they do now, but used to, if you got overabundance, they called it a bumper crop. It was over the abundance of what you should have received. That's what happened here. Isaac sowed his seed in the middle of a famine, and God blessed the crops, and he received more than he should have. I know I was preaching years and years ago. Back in the 70s, over in in Kenya, and I talked about believing God and so forth and so on, and I went back, and this fella showed me, I'd seen his house before, and he said, look at my house, and I looked at it, and I said, well, what's the difference? He said, I got a tin roof now instead of a thatch roof. And he said, we had a drought, and nobody else's sugar cane was growing. But I prayed like you talked about, planted my seed, did my work. And he said, it would rain on my piece of ground and not rain on anybody else's. And I'm the only one that had sugar cane. I had a bumper crop. And so therefore, I'm the only one that's got sugar cane to sell. So he was able to harvest, and it blessed him in the natural. By applying spiritual principles, he harvested in the natural. But we can harvest in the spiritual also. You see, in the natural and the spiritual, there are seasons that we go through. There are seasons that in our Christian journey that we plant the Word of God into our lives. And then, as we sow that seed into our lives, then we reap the harvest of what's sown. Many people wonder why they're not reaping any spiritual benefits. Well, how much of the Word of God are you putting in? How much seed from the Word are you putting in? Come on now. See, the principle of sowing and reaping is a God principle. It works in the natural, and it works in the spiritual. You know, life is based upon this principle. We sometimes don't call it as we tell our kids sometimes, what you put in is what you're going to get out. If you put the work in, you're going to reap the benefits. You know, if you're athletically, if you don't put the time in practice, you're not going to reap any victories on the field. If you want to have good grades, you got to put the time in studying. That's sowing. But the reaping comes whenever you get to the end of those 4 years of high school and you've got a really good grade point average and you get a scholarship of a certain amount of money because you put the time in. Now you're reaping the benefit. Come on. Anybody understand where I'm going with this today? See, we need to thank God that we have sown the seed and then begin to praise him for the harvest. You know, Genesis 8:22 says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Here, God is saying, as long as the earth remains, you're going to have seed time and harvest. It's going to be cold and it's going to be hot. And you're going to have day and night. They shall not cease. In the natural, we all know when we're in one season, we all know what's coming next. You know, in the natural, winter won't forget to come. But neither will come a few months from now, neither will spring forget to come. And a few months after that, neither will summer forget to come. And then another few months goes by, and we have the fall of the year. And then we're back to winter again. It's the cycle. Do you realize that as we live our life with God, we go through through cycles? We go through the cycle of sowing, right? And then we go through the cycle of letting it grow, the word grow inside of us, and then the harvest comes. See, there's the time of planting, but then there's the time of taking care and waiting for harvest time. You don't plant today and harvest tomorrow. And I don't know why some people can't get the idea that you have to realize that you plant the word, you speak the word, you plant, and then you reap a harvest. See, the promises of God will come to pass. How many of you know where the sun comes up? What direction does the sun come up? The east. Will it come up in the west tomorrow? Why? Because that's the cycle. Has a cycle, right? Actually, if you remember here, when Romy was here teaching us, the our guide that we had in Israel, that was he's a Messianic Jew, and he began to teach us. Actually, when you look at the Bible, it's circular. That's the way the Eastern look at it. How many of you remember who was that? Did that open your eyes to something? Then as you begin to read the Bible, you begin to see this. But now wait a minute. We see this in our own society. Stuff that was clothes and different things that was popular in a different season, you wait a few years, they come back around. Maybe just they come back around with these, they call them skinny jeans. I got any people here that graduated from high school in the mid-50s, like 58, 55, 56? Any of y'all people here? Any guys here? We had something, they called them stovepipe pants. How many remember that? They were same thing as the skinny jeans, just a little, we call them stovepipe pants. And if we wait long enough, the bell bottoms will come back in. And if we wait long enough, polyester will be back. And leisure suits. And you know what? I've noticed that ties are starting to make a reappearance. Anybody notice that? Huh? Yeah. Hey. What's the saying we got? What goes around comes around. Do you realize that it's the same thing in the spiritual world? We just need to be able to hang on because there are benefits for the harvest time, but we've got to persevere. You know, the farmer has to persevere during all the other, from planting, from preparing the ground to planting and then taking care of the plants, and then harvest time comes. He has to persevere through that. And that's not easy sometimes. In the spiritual, it's not easy because the enemy is going to do everything he can to delay your harvest. And you, in the natural, you get your harvest gets delayed and it's not what it should be because the weather doesn't cooperate properly. That's part of the enemy. See, if you planting stuff, you need to begin to command according to the word of God that my crop will grow. That's part of it. See, we keep on believing and we keep on speaking until the promise comes. See, you can't get tired. Galatians 6:9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season We'll reap if we don't lose heart. Message Bible says, so let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. At the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. Sometimes people get weary. They get tired. You know, I'm sure that sometimes some of those farmers that we never think about it when we go to the store and we get that produce, we get tomatoes, we get whatever, lettuce, we get whatever off of that produce counter. We don't ever think about what has gone in to getting that to us. There's a lot of people involved, and there's a lot of perseverance involved. The truck driver that's hauling it to the store, if he decides he doesn't want to haul it to the store, it's not going to get there. Come on, don't grow weary. Sowing and reaping the harvest of God's promises is not easy work. It requires something. You know, just thinking about it for a minute. What are the reasons that people don't persevere and they don't wait for their due season? They give up before due season. See, it says due season. Right now, how many of you, I know people do this in their flower beds, and then sometimes they make a little, how many of you are going to go out and plant tomatoes tomorrow? How many of you this past spring planted some tomatoes plants? Yeah, several of you. It wouldn't do you any good to go out and plant any tomatoes. It's not the season to plant. And there's no use going out there if you've got a pear tree or a peach tree or whatever. Ain't no use going out there and looking at that tree, see if you're going to get anything off of it. It's not due season. See, we believe God, but it says in due season you're going to reap. What do you got to do during that time? You got to praise. But let me get back here to the reason that worry. People begin to worry that it's not going to happen. The devil will come to them and tell them, oh, it's not going to happen this time. You're not going to get no harvest this time. And then some people become discouraged because it doesn't happen overnight. We get into a fast-pitched world where if we can't go through the drive-thru and pick it up real quick, we just forget it. We get to the point that if it ain't air conditioned, we don't want it. A car, house, hotel room, whatever. Any of y'all remember when we had to live without air conditioning? Now, none of you kids do. How many of you have never lived when there was no air conditioning? Let me see your hand. Yeah. Hey. But we lived long enough till we got air conditioning. I can look across this audience and see a lot of people that used to be like I am. We listened to the radio because we didn't have no television. And there's a lot of people in here that they had, you had three stations when you had a, you finally get to get a television, you got three stations. And at after the 10 o'clock news every night, it went off. And it didn't come back on till in the morning. And how many of you remember when you had to get up and walk across the room to change the channel? You see, we get used to that in the natural and know some things in the natural, but the enemy will do what he can to keep you from getting the promises of God. Even though you have sown some seed, now he's going to throw worry at you. He's going to throw discouragement. He's going to throw fear at you. He's going to throw the fact that, well, time has passed and nothing has happened. I remember Grandpa used to he planted that cotton. He didn't go out there the next week to see if the plant was coming up because it ain't going to be there. Now, you know, he didn't go out there and dig up the plant, see what's the matter. What happens, we plant a seed, and then instead of praising God for that seed to grow, we go and dig it up. Well, I don't understand. When you say, what are you talking about? Well, you go, you go say, well, I don't understand. I prayed yesterday and it didn't happen. That's digging up the seed. Come on now. Don't shout me down good because I'm preaching so good. I ought to have more amens than that. Anybody understand where Pastor going this morning? You see, keep in mind that there is a passage of time between sowing and harvest. And because we're in this fast-paced world that we live in, we want to plant the seed today, and tomorrow, 24 hours later, we want to reap the harvest. Well, we read here in the Word of God that the promises of God are like a harvest seed, like planting seed and harvest in the natural. Come on now. Don't shut me down now. In due season, if we don't lose heart, don't quit. What do we do after we plant? We begin to praise God. And at the right time, the harvest, the increase will come. You reach the due season by praising God. There's a fellow by the name of Kenneth W. Hagin that has a book called Untapped Power of Praise. I don't know whether you ever read it or not, but it's a really good book. Anybody ever read the Untapped Power of Praise? In fact, that's where the Lord told me when I did the teaching on that book, the Lord told me, said, they're not missing it in their faith. They're not missing it in planting. They're missing it in their praise. On page 73 of that book, I say, praise is the language of faith. Praise is the language of victory. Praise is the language of heaven. Praise is the language of believing God with your heart and confessing your faith in him with your mouth. Your praise to God is the rain upon your seed that you planted. Without the rain, you're not going to reap any harvest. The crop's not going to grow. You see, you plant the seed by believing, saying, okay, Lord, I believe the Bible says this. I believe it. Now you start praising. Praise is the rain. Praise is taking care of the seed, whatever you have to do sometimes to take care of the seed. Praise is not letting the enemy come in, letting the Johnson grass grow or the crabgrass or whatever it is that gets in. Praise is not letting a boll weevil get in your cotton. See, some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. That's all right. boll weevil will destroy a cotton crop if you don't do due diligence and take care of it. I see some of you shaking your heads. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Grandpa used to talk about that. Praise enables us to keep going when it doesn't look like anything's happening. The rain that comes down on that field keeps the farmer happy. I remember Grandpa used to, he'd say, "Oh, praise the Lord for the rain." And then he'd start saying, "Lord, stop the rain." Because, you know, now we can't praise God too much, but a crop can get too much rain. But you can't ever praise God too much. We need to, once we plant our seed by saying whatever it is and believing God, then we praise. Psalm 67:5. "Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. Our God, our own God, shall bless us." The Voice Bible says it like this: "May the people praise you with their whole hearts, O God. May every man, woman, child on the earth praise you. The land has supplied a bountiful harvest, and the true God, our God, has poured out his blessings to all of us." You just have to take this scripture literally. Take it for what it says literally. What it says exactly is this: if you'll praise God, then the promises of God will come to pass in your life. See, sometimes we lose out in praising. See, some people will grumble when they don't see something happening. No, you gotta keep praising. Don't praise God just for one day. Praise him till the harvest comes. I'm talking about getting out of your comfort zone and praising God like you never have before. Praise God in spite of what's happening. Praise God no matter how you feel. Praise God no matter how much time has passed. Praise God even when you don't see the harvest even coming. Praise God until you drowned out all doubt and reasoning. Just drown it with praise. How long do we praise? Until the harvest comes. Until the increase comes. Until payday comes. Yeah, but I don't feel like praising God. That doesn't make any difference. Praising God is something you do no matter how you feel. I don't care how tired you are, keep praising God. Keep on praising God. Look at your neighbor and say, "Keep praising God." If you'll keep praising God, the harvest will manifest. What am I talking about when I'm saying the harvest? I'm talking about whatever you're believing God for starts coming to pass. Now, just because it starts, don't quit praising. Keep praising until you get the whole harvest. Just because a few of the plants are ahead of the rest of the plants and that cotton is popping out on one plant, but it's not popping out like it should on other, you don't go out there, you don't start picking it. You wait till the whole field is ready to harvest. See, sometimes something starts to happen and people get excited and they quit praising God. Oh, no, keep praising God till the whole thing comes out. Just because a few plants are showing some white. In fact, I was driving down the road somewhere here the other day, and I looked across that. There's a field, and man, all you could see is just white everywhere because it's ready to be picked. We walk out there. Grandpa said, oh, well, it's looking good, man. Look, that plant's already opening up, but we got to wait a while. I remember one time I was with him, and I said, well, Papa, looks like it's ready to pick. No, no. He said, son, there's still some plants that's got to open up. We don't pick till we get a whole harvest, not just a part of a harvest, a whole harvest. How many of y'all have been satisfied before with this part of the harvest? See, we don't need to be satisfied with part of the harvest. We need to keep praising God till we get the whole thing. Yeah. Hallelujah. All of us have probably come up short and didn't get an abundant oversupply harvest because we got too excited about the little harvest that we were getting. Look like I got some helpers today. Hallelujah. See, when you keep praising God, God will show up with knowledge and wisdom and revelation for you. When you keep praising God, he'll show up with healing and deliverance. When you keep praising God, he'll show up with prosperity and abundance. When you keep praising God, he'll show up with peace and joy and happiness. When you keep praising God, your harvest will come. Turn to your neighbor and say, if you keep praising God, your harvest will come. I don't know about you, but I'm going to keep praising till my harvest comes. Hallelujah. That's it. If you want, let's just let it go right there. Come on, stand up and praise God. I got a little more, but we need to keep praising God. Hallelujah. My harvest is coming. My harvest is coming. Hallelujah. Hey. Just hold still just a minute. Stand where you are. In her book, Healing from Heaven, Lillian B. Yeomans tells the story of a missionary years and years ago in China. She contacted smallpox. That was before there was anything that could be done for it. If you contacted smallpox, it was over. They would quarantine you. Nobody else, because it was a very contagious disease. She's in China. There's no help for her, no medical help. They quarantine her in her room. And she begins to pray. And God showed her a scale. You know, one of those scales where it goes like this. And there was a basket full of trials and all of these troubles and sickness and disease. And it was way up here, full. But the praise basket was down here. And the Lord told her, said, when the praise basket is fuller than the trouble basket, healing will come. So she started praising God. She praised him for everything she could think of. And then she praised him some more. The people on the outside of the room thought it was just the sounds of a fevered, delirious woman praising God. But she kept praising God until she walked out of that room. Not a smallpox on her anywhere. Not a scar anywhere. She kept praising God till she got her harvest. Hey, we got to keep praising God till our praise basket outweighs the basket of trials and tribulations. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's sing something.
I gotta praise. I gotta praise and I gotta let it out. I gotta praise. Hey! I gotta praise.
I gotta praise.
Oh yeah.
I gotta praise and I gotta let it out.
listen, that's just their way of praising God. So don't get upset about it. Yesterday in stadiums all over the United States, there were people that were jumping and praising because their team won. They're praising God because somebody run down the field with a bag of wind under their arm. And they scored a touchdown. And they're jumping and say, why can't we jump and praise God the same way? Hallelujah. When people are excited about something, they show it. Hallelujah. I don't know why it is. You can be excited about everything in the world, jump, scream, yell, but when it comes to the things of God, you go, no, that's not a time to be quiet. That's a time to shout.
said at Rhema Bible Church, they don't shout no more. Yeah, we shout when it's real. We don't work it up. But when it's real, we shout. And this is real this morning, people. The power of God's in this place. The anointing of God's in this place. Whatever you need, you can receive right now. Just begin to praise God for it. Whatever it is, begin to praise God for it. Begin to receive. This is harvest time. This is your harvest time. Hallelujah. Oh, online. Somebody watching online, they just tapped in. Had back pain. I got up and praised God and it's gone. Hallelujah. God. Hallelujah. Thank God, thank God. I had no idea what was going to happen. In fact, as I was reading over this morning, you know, the devil said, hey, you don't need to preach that. This. You know, I start having these thoughts. Well, what's going on, you know. But I just got up here and started. Half of what I said ain't even in them notes. Hallelujah. But God is real. The power of God is real. The praise to God is real. And we'll just learn to praise Him sometime. Praise Him when it don't look like it's going to happen. Praise Him when everything's going good. Praise Him when everything's going bad. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him at noon. Praise Him at night. Just keep on praising Him and you'll see it'll come out all right. Because praise ascends to me like a sweet smelling fragrance. And when I smell the presence of praise, I begin to send the anointing. And as the anointing comes through your praise, you will see that what you need will be taken care of. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pause for just a moment. Bow your heads. There might be somebody in our midst right now that can't praise God because they've never had accepted Him as Father through Jesus Christ. Or you may be here and you say, well, I used to know what it is to feel the power and the anointing of God. But I haven't done that in a while and I need to, I want that. I want to rededicate myself to that. Anybody, let me see your hand. I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. Anybody in this house anywhere. There's some hands over here. Thank you. Is there any other hands upstairs, downstairs? You say, I've never accepted Christ. Or I know what it is, but I'm just not where I'm supposed to be. I couldn't rejoice this morning like that because I'm not where I'm supposed to be. Listen, if you raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, I'm going down front. I want you to come down here. We're going to pray with you, and things are going to change. Your life is not going to be the same again. I know I saw one hand. There's probably more that need to get down here, so come on. If you raised your hand, come on. If you didn't raise your hand, but you want to, you know you need to come. Come on. Just come right here. Just come on. God bless you. God bless you. Come on. Just come on. Bless you. Come on. If you couldn't feel, you know you need to get out there. Come on. Don't be embarrassed. You're not saying you're not right with God. You're just saying you're not where you're supposed to be, and you could not rejoice the way you wanted to this morning. Come on. Come on, right now. I'm going to wait a minute on you. Hallelujah.
Thank God. Father, thank you for these that have come. I thank you that every spiritual need in their life will be taken again, and they will receive once again that anointing, that feeling of ecstasy that only comes from the anointing of God. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, right now, in Jesus' name. Would y'all just go right there with them to the prayer room so they can be prayed with individually in depth? Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, ain't no use to ask if anybody got anything today. I think a bunch of people did. Hallelujah. Including yours truly. Glory to God. Hallelujah.